KXSI, AM and FM, Seattle.
The news is next on KIXI from CBS Radio Network.
CBS News. President Gerald Ford welcomed Secretary of State Henry Kissinger home Wednesday night in a personal tribute to the achievements of shuttle diplomacy. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. On the windswept ramp at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington, the president hailed America's and the secretary's role in winning Egypt's and Israel's agreement to the Sinai Accord. And both men had a message for the nation's lawmakers.
I trust that the Congress will agree that this very small contingent is an altogether proper contribution for the United States to make a stabilizing and secure situation in the Sinai.
We are proud that America was the one country in the world sufficiently trusted by both sides to play this role, and sufficiently trusted by both sides to be asked to help monitor some of the technical aspects of the agreement on a very small but central part of the area of disengagement.
Secretary Kissinger meets with congressional leaders Thursday morning, appears before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in the afternoon to seek Capitol Hill's endorsement for the peacemaking role of the American technicians. Earlier, Reuters news agency reported that Soviet annoyance over the limited American presence in Sinai has prompted a Kremlin decision not to send a representative to the formal signing of the Sinai Agreement Thursday in Geneva, Switzerland. This report unconfirmed. Now this.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhaid Ointment. Hemorrhaid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhaid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhaid. Hemorrhaid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi there, this is Mike Roy of The Cooking Thing, and I'm about to ask my pal Dennis Bracken to invite a banana to breakfast.
Well, nothing special about that. I often slice bananas on my cereal there, Michael.
Oh, I'll bet you never made banana pancakes or served them with bacon and eggs.
No, I can't say that I have. It doesn't even sound very appetizing. You better elaborate.
Well, tomorrow I'll do the elaboration. I got about 7 suggestions, including banana cinnamon toast.
You're going to bring 7 bananas to breakfast.
That's right.
Tune in tomorrow, friend, for Mike Roy's Banana Thing. You'll hear it right here on CBS.
An influential group of Republican senators, both liberals and moderates, visited with President Ford Wednesday. They warned him he stands to lose the votes of the big industrial states with their large block of electoral votes if he runs for re-election as a conservative. Senator Clifford Case of New Jersey said the group is concerned that Mr. Ford is tailoring his campaign to smaller states with conservative views, which, Case contends, could lose him the Democrats and independents he needs to win. The Army to be sued for $8.5 million by the daughter of a man who served as an unwitting subject in a secret Army drug experiment. Harold Blauer, a New York tennis pro, was a mental patient in 1953 when Army researchers gave him 5 doses of mescaline. Blauer developed an acute allergic reaction and died. The Army withholding details of Blauer's death until last month, 22 years later. As many as 10 people are hostages to a bank robber in an Albany, New York sandwich shop. The holdup man fractured the skull of a bank guard during the holdup, shot and wounded a policeman during a chase, and took refuge a block away in the sandwich shop. That's where he took his hostages. Some 10 hours later, the agonizing stalemate continues. The gunman reportedly wants to negotiate with Governor Hugh Carey. The soft coal industry and the United Mine Workers Union will form an industry union panel to hear the grievances of striking West Virginia miners when the walkout is over. Up to 30,000 are still out over unhappiness with grievance procedures, but others have begun drifting back to work. Democratic energy policymakers in Congress have renounced a tentative compromise on decontrol struck between their leaders and President Ford. They say they'll try to marshal the votes for full restoration of price controls. More in a minute.
A century ago, the rhythm of life was shaped by the feeding of the animals, the sowing of the soil, the harvesting of the crops. Today, the rule of the clock has become almost absolute. The subject is Americans at Work, The writing is from The Clock Watchers, Time Magazine's bicentennial essay this week, one of a series that examines the ways Americans have changed in 200 years. This week, every week, Time puts a world of information at your fingertips. Pick up a copy today.
You were expecting me.
Well, the doctor said you were on the way.
Good.
But...
You've been to the doctor already. Mm-hmm. You'll see him often.
Oh, yes. He gave me a diet, and he says I can keep up my tennis lessons.
Don't forget, you need plenty of rest. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't have to remind you. No drugs without the doctor's okay.
No, you don't have to remind me. But, Stork, aren't you here a bit early?
It's never too early for sound advice from the March of Dimes. Be good to your baby before it is born.
Bangladesh, one of the neediest of countries, has called on the wealthiest to increase their aid massively to the developing world. Wednesday, Bangladeshi Finance Minister A.R. Malik told member countries of the International Monetary Fund meeting in Washington that the global recession presents an unprecedented threat to the 1 billion people in the developing world and can destroy the fabric of economic relations between the have and the have-not nations. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
When you shop at Tradewell, you know they provide the best service at the best possible price. Tradewell helps you stretch your food dollar without sacrificing quantity. Some of the specials you'll find at your friendly Tradewell this week: USDA Choice Boneless Sirloin Tip Roast, $1.45 a pound. Fresh whole stewing chickens, 29 cents a pound. Large green bell peppers for stuffing or salads, 8 for a dollar. Z Nice and Soft Bathroom Tissue, 4-roll package, 59 cents. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Sirloin Tip Steak, just $1.59 a pound. Nally's Mayonnaise, a 32-ounce jar at 72 cents. Fresh Sweet Corn on the Cob, 8 for a dollar. Campbell's Soups, Mushroom, Chicken Noodle, or Vegetable, 10 3/4-ounce tin, 18 cents. Shop Tradewell for quality and value. Remember, your friendly Tradewell is headquarters for USDA Prime Beef. So you're invited to shop Tradewell every day.
Next, CBS Radio Mystery Theater with your host, E.G. Marshall.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. I have a question to ask you. What is hell? Where is it? Some say it's a place that the soul goes to after death to be purified. Others believe that hell is right here on earth, that indeed life is a synonym for hell. Which is right? Are both right, perhaps? Don't know. One thing sure, though. If life on Earth isn't hell for everyone, it certainly can be for some. Henry and Matilda Smith, to mention only two.
No, Henry. I don't believe you. You couldn't have done such a thing, not you.
Yes, Matilda. Me. I did it.
You only imagine you did. I've heard that when people are starving, they imagine all kinds of things, horrifying things. They hallucinate.
No hallucination.
I don't believe you.
Believe me. Believe me. Look, I'll take off my coat. Look and believe.
Oh, your shirt, blood.
Soaked in blood. Dripping with it. Dripping with blood.
Our mystery drama, The Diamond Necklace, was adapted especially for the Mystery Theater from the classic story of Guy de Maupassant by George Lowther and stars Mandel Kramer and Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
From Mom, I got my practical side.
Christmas, oh, just get me a nice mop, son.
From Dad, I got my fun-loving side.
Go fly a kite, kid.
So, being practical and fun-loving, naturally, I got a Buick Skylark. Being the only V6-powered American compact, it's very practical. And being a Buick, it's a lot of fun to drive. As Mom says...
A wise decision, son.
Or, as my father would say...
Nice car, kid. Let's go shoot some pool.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made.
In some Americans today, the spirit of that Indian prayer is reborn. But now everyone must get involved in the struggle against pollution and litter. Write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards, or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
I have asked, where is hell? What is it? I have often pondered the question and came to no resolution. But surely one thing is true, that if life on earth is not itself hell, it is often a very convincing imitation. The statement you're about to hear proves that. A statement, an account, written by a man named Henry Smith in New York City in the year 1897. A memoir, if you will, of a special kind of horror.
Yes, I'm going to kill myself. With this gun. Put a bullet through my head and end once and for all the mortal terror, the hideous misery of these past 10 years. Believe me, it is not the horrors I've been through because of the diamond necklace. Not the 10 frightful years of grinding poverty and unremitting torment. Not the murder nor the suicide, not the utter misery, not these that make me take my life. But the shock. The awful shock of what I heard today. The shock which may, for all I know, have unhinged my mind. But in any case, has destroyed all desire to go on living. Where to begin my story? Anywhere will do, I suppose. So I'll begin with that moment when, in sudden frustration, I flung the glass of wine against the wall.
Henry! Oh, my darling, my darling!
I'm sorry, Matilda. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just don't think I can bear anymore. It's too much.
Oh, darling. Dearest, the world hasn't come to an end. All right. You've had bad luck for a number of years.
Bad luck? Abominable, that's what it's been. Has anyone worked harder than I have to be a success?
No, my darling.
Has anyone tried more than I have? Tried and tried.
Sweetheart.
What happens? Every time. The glove shop. All our savings in the glove shop, and it burns to the ground on opening day. All of our savings gone. And then the job at Mountjoy's. For 3 years, 3 solid years, I break my back as a clerk, and then I'm promoted to floor walker. And what happens?
But it isn't your fault you came down with the flu.
It's never my fault, Matilda. That's the point. I try and I try, and I get nowhere. This morning, I go back to Mountjoy's. 2 weeks ill, and I go back to the floor walker job, I think. Now, you go out, you buy a steak, a bottle of wine, and we'll splurge a little to celebrate. Sorry, Smith, Collier says. Collier the Great. Collier, head floor walker. Sorry, Smith. We had to give the job to Plateau. It's just too much, Matilda. I can't take it anymore.
Darling, please. Look. Here. Another glass of wine. Drink this one. It will relax you. Things won't look so black. You'll see the brighter side.
What brighter side?
Well, our love, for one thing.
Oh, how can you love a failure?
I don't love a failure. I love you. And you're not a failure. Henry, dearest, we're young. We're healthy. We're in love. Together we can face anything, overcome anything. Oh, darling, that reminds me. Something came for you in the mail today.
Mm-hmm.
It looks important.
What is it?
Here.
Oh, expensive envelope. Addressed to me. Oh, let's soon find out what it is. Beautiful paper. We sell this kind of heavy vellum at my...
Henry, what is it?
I don't understand this.
What is it?
Here, see for yourself. Here.
Mr. and Mrs. Roger Van Wyck Mountjoy III request the pleasure of your company at a dinner party the evening... Request the pleasure of our company? Oh, that's impossible. He owns Mountjoy's, and you're...
Just another clerk? Is that what you were going to say?
No, dearest.
Not as impossible as you may think, an invitation like this.
But they take a floorwalker job away because you've been ill 2 weeks.
Because maybe, just maybe, Mountjoy has something better for me. He's noticed how hard I've worked these past 3 years, the long hours I've put in, the overtime without pay.
Henry, do you think so?
Well, how else do you explain the invitation?
I don't, Matilda,
dearest, this is it. My luck has changed. Dinner with the Mountjoys. Why, it can mean only one thing. Not just a promotion, but a big promotion. Now, I'll have to rent some dinner clothes. I don't have any.
But, darling, I can't rent a gown.
You'll buy one.
With what?
We've got $43 saved
up. No, I'm not going to touch our savings,
You've got
Henry.
To, darling. This is important. Take what you need. Take it all. Buy the best gown you can find. Something that will be worthy of your beauty.
Oh, but, darling, you don't understand. I'll need more than a gown. Shoes to match, a handbag, other things. I'll need jewelry of some sort, a pin or a necklace, a string of pearls. Where would I get that?
Yes, that is a problem, all right. Unless, wait a minute. How about your friend, Mrs. Forrester?
You mean borrow something from her?
Why not?
Oh, no, I couldn't.
She's loaded with jewelry of all kinds, isn't she? Every time you talk about the days when you were governess to her kids,
she always mentioned... She has a lot of jewelry, but I'd feel awfully awkward. I'd be embarrassed.
Why? Matilda, you're friends. You go to her house for tea?
Oh, once a year, maybe.
Well, even so, you are friends. She likes you.
Well, if you think it would be all right...
Why shouldn't it be? Look, this invitation from Mountjoy himself, it's my big chance, Matilda, the chance I've been waiting for, working for. We can't pass it up. We have got to go to that dinner party. So, sweetheart, you go buy that gown and you borrow that jewelry.
Of course, Matilda, certainly.
Oh, it's awfully good of you, Mrs. Forrester. I hesitated to ask,
but... nonsense, dear. Well, come along into the boudoir. We'll go through all my jewelry, and you shall have your pick. Tell me, how is that handsome husband of yours?
Oh, he's fine. Fine. And about to get his big chance at Mountjoy's, too.
Oh, an opportunity I'm sure he deserves. Well, now, my jewelry is in these boxes. Now, you start looking while I go tell Hortense to make tea for us.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Forrester. Thank you.
Nothing?
Well...
Oh, but surely, Matilda, surely there must be something that will go with your new gown. These pearls. This emerald pin. One or another of these diamond brooches. Oh, surely there's... So that's it.
What?
Oh, there is something, but you're too shy to ask for it.
Well, I...
Now, come. Tell me, what piece has caught your eye?
That one.
The diamond necklace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't ask you for that.
Of course you can. And you're right. As always, your taste is impeccable.
I don't know how to thank you.
Well, who asked for thanks? Oh, I will ask one thing, though, Matilda, dear.
Anything.
Now, be sure to have the necklace back to me by Saturday. See, I'm going to a dinner party that night.
Oh, but I'll return it on Thursday, the day after the Mountjoy party.
Oh, any time at all, my dear, but no later than Saturday. And, Matilda, tell your husband I couldn't be more delighted over his good fortune. He deserves it. And so do you.
Huh.
Thank you, driver. No, that's all right.
Keep the change. Matilda, wait. Let me help you out.
Henry, look. Have you ever seen anything so beautiful? It's a mansion. All lit up. Blazing. With those new electric lights.
It is a sight, isn't it? Look, the front doors are wide open. You can see people dancing in the ballroom.
Oh, those gowns the women are wearing. Henry, do I look all right?
You look like a fairy princess. The gown, the diamond necklace. You are a fairy princess. Come, princess. Let's knock them dead.
Is there a butler or someone that we give the invitation to?
Well, there doesn't seem to be. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, look.
What?
The man coming toward us. That's Roger Mountjoy himself. Matilda, he's going to greet us personally.
Can I help you?
We're here for your party, your dinner party, Mr. Mountjoy.
You know me?
Why, of course.
We've met, have we?
Well, not actually. I've seen you, of course, any number of times at the department store, but we've never really met.
Then I'm afraid I'm rather at a loss to understand what you're doing here.
Well, Mr. Mountjoy, I'm Henry Smith.
Oh?
I'm employed by you at the department store. A clerk in sporting goods. You invited me and my wife to your party tonight.
So you're the mistake. You are the mistake that was made.
The mistake?
Let me see the invitation.
Certainly.
Yes, addressed to Henry Smith, spelled S-M-I-T-H. That fool secretary of mine.
I don't understand.
Well, it's simple enough, Smith. I have a friend, a close friend, named Henry Smythe, spelled S-M-Y-T-H-E. My secretary simply sent the invitation to you instead of him. A mistake. A ridiculous mistake.
Ridiculous?
What else would you call it?
Unfortunate. Embarrassing.
Unfortunate, embarrassing, ridiculous, whatever you call it. I am not in the habit of inviting my clerks to my home. Now, I'll say goodnight to you and to your decidedly attractive wife. I'm very sorry, my dear, very sorry.
Being sorry doesn't help matters much, Mr. Mountjoy.
My dear.
Your secretary makes a mistake, and we make all sorts of preparations for your party. Clothes that we can hardly afford.
I said I'm sorry. Good night.
No. You can't just put us out like this.
Henry, for heaven's sake.
Not put us out like beggars. I don't mind for myself, but my wife has looked forward to this. She's bought a new gown, new shoes, accessories, looked forward with great anticipation.
Henry, please.
You come. Cruel, you heartless.
Henry, good night, Mr. Mountjoy.
Perhaps we'll meet again, Mrs. Smith.
I don't think so, Mr. Mountjoy. Come, Henry. Henry, it was a mistake. An unfortunate mistake.
Wrong, Matilda. A ridiculous mistake. You heard him. You heard the great Roger Van Wyck Mountjoy III. A ridiculous mistake, Smith. Yes, ridiculous, all right. A clerk spends the savings of nearly 2 years.
Maybe I could take the gown and the shoes back.
Cab fare all across town, there and back. And to him, it's ridiculous.
They might refund it. They might...
Punched him in the nose is what I should have done. Punched him in the nose.
Oh, and found yourself out of a job in the morning. If you still have a job at Mountjoy.
I don't give a damn if I've got a job there or not. I don't give a damn if I ever see the inside of Mountjoy's again. I don't give a damn if...
Henry. What's wrong? Why are you staring at me like that?
Where's the necklace?
The necklace?
Yes, the necklace. The diamond necklace, Matilda. Where is it?
Gone. Henry. Henry, I've lost the diamond necklace.
If you're a man listening to my voice, put yourself in Henry Smith's shoes. And if a woman, in Matilda's. And tell me that hell doesn't exist on Earth. Go on. Tell me. I'll return shortly for Act Two.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right. If people helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves a point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
To the thoughtful person, the emotion of terror need not be activated only by the horrendous. There are many forms of terror. The quick and sudden terror which makes the soul scream out in agony. The slow and eroding kind which makes the soul moan in mounting fear. Is the terror of a man going to his death any greater than, say, a baby wailing with hunger and in fear there may not be another meal? Henry Smith can give you the answer.
I can hardly write these words. My hands are numb. Not only with the bitter cold of this heatless room, the chill of the winter wind seeping through the broken window, but also the horror, the true horror, memory brings back to me. Her words.
Gone, Henry. I've lost the diamond necklace.
How could you have lost it?
I don't know, but it's gone.
Take off your wrap, maybe.
Maybe what?
I don't know. Maybe when it slipped from your neck, it got caught inside the wrap.
Oh, I doubt if it could pop.
Well, look anyhow.
No, it's not here. It's gone, Henry. A fortune in diamonds lost.
Now, don't panic. We mustn't panic now. We'll just keep calm and just think. Try to remember. When did you last have the necklace? When did you last notice it?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, you must. Now, did you have it in the cab going to Mountjoy's?
Yes. Yes, I had it then, and I remembered. Yes. I had it when we got out and walked up the steps to the door.
You're sure of that?
Oh, yes. I remember putting my hand on it, patting it.
Did you have it in the cab on the way home from Mountjoy's?
I don't remember.
Try to remember, please, try. Did you or didn't you?
I don't know. I was too upset to notice.
Well, you've got to find that necklace.
Oh, where are you going?
I'm going out to find it. Well, I'll try and find the cab that we hired on the way back. I'll go to Mountjoy's house and look around outside. Have we any money?
Money?
Well, I can't walk to Mountjoy's. It's too far. I'll have to take a cab.
Let's see. We have $2 and some change left.
All right, give it to me.
Oh, Henry, wait. There's no food in the house for tomorrow. You don't get paid till Saturday.
No, I don't.
Henry?
Oh, that scares you, doesn't it? $2 and change. No food in the house. No pay till Saturday. Oh, it's frightening. I think I'm going to be sick.
Henry. Oh, my darling. No, Henry.
All right, I'm all right. I'm all right. Expect me when you see me.
Henry.
What?
Forgive me.
Oh, darling. Darling, it isn't your fault. Get that thought out of your head. It isn't your fault.
It is my fault. It is. It is.
You, Henry?
Yes.
Well, I must have fallen asleep. It's nearly dawn. You didn't find it?
No.
I could kill myself.
Matilda, please, sweetheart, you mustn't feel guilty about this. What we've got to do now is figure out what to do. Now, have you any idea how expensive it was, the necklace?
No. It came in a Carteret box.
Carteret? The most expensive jewelers in town. Must have cost a fortune. Well, I guess there's no way out but for you to tell Mrs. Forrester.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't possibly do that.
You'll have to. There's nothing else we can do.
Oh, there's got to be something. I'd rather die than go to Mrs. Forrester and tell her I lost the necklace. I can't do it, Henry.
I don't know what else.
Well, replace it. We'll have to replace it.
Replace it? How?
Well, I'll go to Carteret's and describe the necklace. They just might have a duplicate. Well, they might.
And if they do, what then? You hand them this dollar and 39 cents I've got left and take the necklace to Mrs. Forrester? You gone out of your mind?
Oh, if I haven't, I'm close to it.
Look, go to Mrs. Forrester tomorrow.
I can't, Henry. Please don't make me go.
When have I ever made you do anything? All right, we'll find a way out of this. All right, look, you go to Carteret's tomorrow and see what you come up with. And we'll just have to take it from there.
But what if they don't have a duplicate?
That isn't what worries me. What worries me is, what if they do?
Well, madam, I would say this necklace is quite nearly a perfect match to the one you described.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. How much is it?
$6,500. Madam, are you all right?
Yes, quite all right. I suppose that it must be paid for all at once.
All at once?
I mean, there's a new way of paying for things these
days.
If
you mean the installment buying, madam, our customers have no need of it.
Yes. Well, now, I'll let you know.
As you wish.
$6,500, you said?
Yes, $6,500.
Thank you. Thank you.
Come in, Mr. Smith.
Yes, Mr. Brock. Henry Smith.
Frankie Matthews sent you to me, eh?
Yes, he works in the department next to mine. In hats.
I got more than one client from Mountjoy's. What I'm saying, you're in good hands, Mr. Smith. Let's see, full name?
Henry James Smith.
Oh, James. Address?
227 East 9th Street.
227 East... Okay. How much you want to borrow?
$6,500.
Uh-huh. Any collateral?
If I had collateral, I'd have gone to the bank, Mr. Brock.
Somebody twisted your arm to come to me.
No, of course not.
So why insult me, Mr. Smith? I don't need you. You need me, right?
Yes.
The way I operate, I make you a straight loan at interest. You pay back the principal when and as you can. As long as you pay the interest each month, we got no problem.
How much interest?
1%.
1%? 1% of $6,500. That's $60.50, right?
Right.
Well, that isn't too bad. I guess I can manage $60.50 a year, I guess.
A month, Mr. Smith.
What?
1% a month, $60.50 a month.
By month? But, well, that's usury.
Hey, you know something, Smith? It's a good thing I don't charge for insults. You'd be in a real mess if
I did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. It's just that... Oh, good Lord, I couldn't possibly afford all that, not on my salary.
I'm sorry to hear it. You wasted my time.
Oh, no, wait. Wait now.
I'm waiting.
Well, I'm... All right. All right, I'll take it. And don't worry, I'll find a way to pay the interest. Don't worry.
I won't. I never worry, Mr. Smith. I let my clients do it all.
Why, no. No, Matilda, dear. I wasn't in the least concerned.
Well, I did say I'd return the necklace Thursday. Here it is, Saturday.
But I'll not be wearing it till tonight. And, well, it certainly wasn't your fault. The clasp broke.
Oh, the clasp isn't quite the same as the old one. Look, I'll show you.
Oh, no, don't bother. Just toss the box over there.
Mrs. Forrester, I was wondering...
Yes, dear?
Wondering... would you know of anyone who might need a governess?
You?
Yes.
You're in need of employment?
Well, Henry doesn't make much, and I thought I might help out a little.
Oh, I see. Well, see now, I'm afraid I don't know of anyone who needs a governess, no, but I...
Yes?
Oh, no, that wouldn't be for you.
What? I'm not proud, Mrs. Forrester. If it's honest work...
Oh, honest enough, my dear, but exhausting. You see, a friend of mine, a very large family, needs someone to do washing.
A washerwoman?
I told you it wouldn't be for you. Well, I'll ask around among my friends and let you know if I come up with anything.
Oh, thank you.
Now, just let me be sure I have your address correct.
Oh, we're moving.
Are you? Oh, do you know where?
Yes. 121 Delahanty Street.
Delahanty? But, my dear, isn't that... Well, isn't that thought to be something of a slum area?
Oh, not that bad.
Matilda, child, has something gone wrong? Are you and Henry in some sort of trouble you're not telling me about?
No, no.
Well, then why are you willing to take a job as a washerwoman? Why are you moving to Delahanty Street... Oh, very well. I won't press you, but please do keep one thing in mind. I'm always willing and ready to help you in any way. You will keep that in mind, won't you, dear?
Yes. And thank you, Mrs. Forrest. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, my dear. And thank you for returning the necklace. Oh, if you ever want to borrow it again...
Thank you. I don't think I will. Not ever again.
We made a deal, Smith. A month ago to the day. Now you come in and tell me you can't pay the interest.
Well, not all of it, Mr. Brock, but...
But what?
I've got $34 of the 60.
60 and 50 cents.
Yes. And if you'll just accept that...
Sure. Sure, let's have it. You bring the rest tomorrow. Same time. 6 o'clock.
But that's impossible.
Impossible, huh?
It's taken me a month to get $34 together. How am I going to get practically as much again in just a day?
That's your problem.
Well, but it's a problem I can't solve. Look, I'll pay you. I'll pay you every cent I owe you, but you've got to give me time.
Time is money, Mr. Smith. And you haven't got much of either. Let me show you something. You see this?
Yes?
What is it?
A switchblade knife.
And very sharp, Mr. Smith. Razor sharp. Now, I'll tell you how it's going to be. You come here tomorrow at 6 o'clock and you have the money, or I'll take a piece out of your right ear with this knife.
Mr. Brock...
You come back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and if you still haven't got the money, I take a piece out of your left ear.
You're a...
I know what I am. You better know what you are. You're a loser, Smith, and you're a loser because you're a sucker. Tomorrow, Smith. Same time. Oh. And, bring your wife.
My wife? What for?
Who knows? Maybe she could even, save you from losing your life. Who knows, Smith?
If ever terror, cold, chilling terror, struck through a man's soul, it strikes through Henry Smith's. Snared by circumstances he did not create, he is now like an animal caught in a trap, quivering with terror, shaking with horror, and all because of a diamond necklace. A diamond necklace borrowed and lost. I'll return shortly for Act Three.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person.
Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then. Because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
America has so much to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge can resolve. Will you help us overcome them by giving to America at the very source of her future? Give to the college of your choice now.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
People. People who need people.
Some people feel that we're becoming a nation of mannequins. Nothing but heartless clothes racks. No longer caring about or for each other's needs. They say we become blind to the suffering of the sick and the old, deaf to the pleas of the disadvantaged. If it's true, pity us, because it's not those of us who need help who are the handicapped. It's those of us who won't give it. I'm Nancy Wilson, asking you to have a heart and write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. It'll make you a better human being.
People who need people.
A public service of the Advertising Council and this station.
What bitter, cruel, insupportable tragedy can smash a human life because of one mischance? Henry and Matilda Smith have discovered this to their sorrow. Had Henry or Matilda thought for a moment, they might have realized that the party invitation from Roger Mountjoy had to be a mistake. In any case, had they realized this, certainly Matilda would never have borrowed that diamond necklace from Mrs. Forrester and lose it. And had Matilda not lost it, well, let Henry tell us.
Wind outside is strengthening, getting colder. Snow is beginning to fall. The last snow I shall ever see. Would that I had never seen the light of day, never been born. When I remember what took place in Brock's office the next day. Going to his office filled me with fear. But not going would have made me more fearful still. I entered his office in a cold sweat and found myself trembling with nerves as he said,
I thought you'd find the money somehow. I was sure of it.
I haven't found it, Mr. Brock. I haven't got it.
You didn't bring your wife, so I figured you had the money.
No.
Maybe you don't hear too good, even with ears. You remember this? I see you do. But also you remember maybe that I said bring your wife. Well?
I remember, Mr. Brock, but look, give me just a little time.
No, not time. This is what I'm going to give you. Look, you see this? This little piece of pink stuff on the tip of the knife, that's you, Smith. Just a little, very little piece of your ear. But don't you worry about it. It's bleeding a lot, but it'll heal. Now, you be smart. Go and get your wife, Smith. Bring her here.
She's working.
Yeah, I know. Doing the washing of some rich dame. Ruining her hands, ruining her looks, her body. Especially her looks and her body. Now, you don't want that now, do
you? Mr. Brock, she's helping me get the money to pay you.
There's easier ways.
I will not bring my wife here. You think I don't know what you mean by easier ways?
Oh, you know, all right. You're smart, real smart. Now, look, let me lay it out for you. You're into me for $6,500. Now, like I tell you, I don't care about you paying off the principal. I got ways of getting that in time. What I want now is the interest. Now, your wife could make more than that in one night.
You dirty rat.
Hold it.
You miserable.
Hold it unless you want me to do more with it.
Oh, yes.
Wait, give me that knife. Damn you, give it back.
Stay away from me. I warn you, stay away.
Why? You'll use the knife on me? I don't think so, Smith. You're going to go and get that sexy wife of yours and you're going to bring her here.
You. Matilda, you're home.
Yes, my back was... I was working over the tubs today and it began to pain again, so I... Henry, you're white as a sheet and trembling. Henry, what happened?
I killed a man, Matilda. I killed a man.
No.
Brock, the moneylender.
No, Henry, I don't believe you. You couldn't have done such a thing. Not you.
Yes. Yes, Matilda, I did it.
No, you just imagine that you did. I've heard that when people are starving, they imagine all kinds of things, horrifying things. They hallucinate.
No,
they just
hallucination.
I don't believe you.
Believe me. Look. I'll take off my coat. Look.
Oh, God.
And believe.
Your shirt, blood.
Soaked in blood. Dripping with blood.
Take it off quickly. Take it off and I'll wash it.
You can't wash it. Nobody must know. And you'd have to wash it in the kitchen or the bathroom down the hall.
There's no running water in this room. Oh, to take it off, we'll hide it. I can't believe. I just can't believe. You were always so gentle.
He was threatening me with a knife. He cut my ear and he was threatening me again if I didn't...
Didn't?
Bring you to him.
Me? What would he want with me?
I don't know.
But he must have a reason. He wouldn't threaten you with a knife and... Unless... Oh.
What's so funny?
I was thinking. Oh, just thinking. What a surprise he'd have in store.
Surprise? Brock?
He must have heard how I looked a month ago. He doesn't know what that month has done to me. Why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you tell him that since the night I lost the necklace? Since the night of the Mountjoy's party? The party that looked so exciting. It was going to be so thrilling.
My secretary made a mistake. A ridiculous mistake. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Only it was all a mistake.
Sweet.
Horrible.
Matilda.
Horrible mistake.
Sweetheart, oh, sweetheart,
worse than
please.
Horrible, I lost the necklace. I'm the one who couldn't face Mrs. Ferrars.
Please, no.
Why couldn't I? I'm the one who made you borrow all that money. I'm the one who made you a murderer. Oh, God, forgive me for what I did.
You did nothing, darling. You lost a diamond necklace. It could have happened to anyone. And it's over now. All of the misery is over.
Oh,
yes, Brock is dead. I killed him. But I did it in self-defense. I'm not excusing myself. Don't think that. You kill a man, you take a life, whatever the reason, you must pay. Somehow or other, you must pay, and I will. But in the meantime, we're out from under the burden, the awful burden of paying that monthly interest. Even the loan, we can forget it.
How?
Well, who knows about it? It was between Brock and me. Who else would know? All I'm saying is what's happened gives us a break, gives us time to recover and make a fresh start. No more 12-hour washing days for you. No more extra jobs for me. We can get some rest. We can eat better. We can restore our health so that... Who can that be?
The police.
I don't see how. Well, one way to find out. Yes?
Hi. May I come in?
Who are you?
Well, I'm afraid we never had the pleasure of meeting face to face, Mr. Smith, but Arnie told me about you, and maybe he told you about me.
Arnie?
Arnie Brock. I'm his wife, Doris. Or I guess I should say, his widow.
No. You won't do this. I won't let you do it.
What else is there to do?
Something. We'll find a way. You go behind my back, you go to that Brock woman, and you...
I agree to do what she wants. What her husband wanted. There's no other way. If I don't do this, we'll both sicken and die. This way, once the loan is paid...
But it will never be paid, Matilda. The interest alone, the monthly interest...
No interest. Not anymore.
What are you talking about?
Well, I agreed to become a hostess on one condition. I would pay off the loan with my earnings, but no more interest.
And she agreed?
Well, there seems to be a shortage of girls, of compliant girls. Here.
What's this?
It's the agreement I made her sign. No interest, and... Now, would you please hook me up in the back?
No.
Henry, please.
In that dress. In the very gown you bought for the Mountjoy party.
It's brand new, Henry. I never got to wear it very long. Never got a chance to dance in it, as I thought I would. Oh, that music was so lovely. Remember when we came through the open front doors? All those gay people dancing and drinking and chatting. So many lovely gowns. All those gorgeous colors. And the electric lights. I've never seen them before. So bright, so glowing. And the music. The music. Oh, if we'd only dance together, Henry. One dance. Just one. We only had that to remember to dream on. Dance with me. Henry, dance with me.
No,
take me in your arms and dance with me. Don't you hear the music? It's a waltz. It's a waltz, Henry. They're playing a waltz, a divine waltz, and I'm in your arms, floating in your arms, turning and turning, my feet scarcely touching the floor.
Stop it, Matilda.
Turning and turning.
Matilda, look out, come out of the window. No. No. No.
Dead when I reached her. Five stories below, in the courtyard, crumpled, broken, dead. We buried her in the gown that she loved so much, the only pretty gown she'd ever had. As I saw the coffin lowered into the ground and heard the first shovelful of dirt fall on her face, I made her a promise. A promise it took 10 years to keep.
498, 499, 500. The debt is paid, Mrs. Brock.
Look, tell me something. After she died, your wife, you could have taken off. Flown the coop, I'd never have found you. Instead, you worked yourself to death, close to it anyways, for 10 years. How come?
It's the way she would have wanted it.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon.
Yes?
Are you, by any chance, are you Henry Smith?
Yeah. Oh, I'm Mrs. Forrester.
Well, of all things. Now, I saw you sitting here in the park, and I thought, now, that man reminds me of someone. And then I realized, Henry Smith. It's been a long time.
Yes, a very long time.
And how is Matilda? She stopped coming to see me quite a few years ago, and I tried to get in touch with her, but you'd moved and left no forwarding address.
She's dead, Mrs. Forrester.
Oh.
10 years now.
Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, she was such a delightful little person. So serious, so sincere. I remember lending her a diamond necklace to go to a party. She accidentally broke the clasp, and really, I've never seen anyone so terribly upset over such a little thing.
A diamond necklace is not a little thing, Mrs. Forrester.
Well, I suppose not, but not if it were a real diamond necklace with genuine diamonds. Mine were paste. Fake diamonds, worth no more than, $100. Oh, Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith, what? Oh, please. Please, someone help me. This man has fainted.
I cannot live with it. The shock, the horror of learning that the diamond necklace was a fake. It doesn't matter now. Nothing has mattered to me since Matilda died. If, as I've heard, there's a life after death, this gun will take me to Matilda in that other life. If not, I'll at least be out of this one.
In the words of Guy de Maupassant, how would life have been for these two if Matilda had not lost the necklace? Who knows? How strange life is. How small a thing will ruin or save one. I'll return shortly.
In God we trust. America speaks.
From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
We owe our story to certainly one of the greatest of all short story writers, Guy de Maupassant. I've suggested in the past that we give a thought, a brief moment of thanks to such men as Oscar Wilde and Edgar Allan Poe, to whom really we owe so much. To that list, let's add Monsieur de Maupassant. I'm sure he'd be pleased. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Marion Seldes, Bryna Rayburn, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
You see? There's no one here.
But there was. There still is. Only, what happened to the music box?
It ran down.
Wind it up.
No. I should never have fixed it so that it would play.
It doesn't matter. She would have reached me anyway. Wait. Find me. Come to me, Susanna. It's Rachel. How? The music box.
Was she just talking to you? The ghost?
It was Rachel.
But she's been... How could she talk to you? She was a mute.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Weather outlook for the Puget Sound region. Patchy morning fog, otherwise mostly sunny Thursday and Friday. Nighttime lows in the 50s, daytime highs in the 70s. Winds northerly 10 to 20 miles an hour, with a chance of measurable rainfall near zero through Thursday night. Temperature in downtown Seattle at 59 degrees. It's 58 at SeaTac Airport. Barometer holding steady at 30.26. At the top of the hour, it's CBS Radio News.
News. President Ford was on hand late Wednesday night to welcome home Secretary of State Kissinger. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president went to Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington as Kissinger arrived fresh from his latest diplomatic victory, the interim agreement between Israel and Egypt. The president thanked Kissinger and said he is delighted with the results of the mission. Kissinger had this to say.
I'm glad that my colleagues and I could make a contribution to this effort, in which the willingness to compromise of the parties played such a central role. And we all hope that this agreement will be the first step towards a lasting peace for an area whose suffering has lasted for a generation.
Kissinger flew into Washington from Damascus, where he met with Syrian President Assad. But shortly after Kissinger left, Syria denounced the agreement. Kissinger on Thursday meets with congressional leaders, where he's expected to face stiff questioning about the plan to station American technicians in the Sinai. More news in a moment.
There's a little town in western Pennsylvania called Oil City, where they make peace of mind. They put it up in green and white cans and ship millions of them all over the land to people who don't want to worry about their cars. This peace of mind is called Quaker State Motor Oil. The folks who make it are experts, men who really know motor oil because that's been Quaker State's specialty for over 60 years. Quaker State starts with the finest natural petroleum the earth provides, Pennsylvania-grade crude oil. Then they put it through step after step of refining, fortify it to fight heat and rust and dirt and wear, and give your engine the protection it needs. Quaker State, the number one selling motor oil. Who says you can't buy peace of mind?
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running.
President Arnold Miller of the United Mine Workers Union predicts that the wildcat strike by coal miners in the East, now in its fourth week, will end in a few days. Miller said after coal operators agreed to the creation of an industry-wide panel to hear the grievances of West Virginia miners. However, some 20,000 miners in southern West Virginia continue to hold out for their demand for the right to strike without federal court intervention. The coal strike is starting to affect other industries, especially the railroads. One carrier is particularly hard hit, the Norfolk and Western Railroad. A report from John Kessling of station WFIR in Roanoke, Virginia.
Spokesman Lou Phelps says 320 NNW workers were furloughed across the company's 14-state system last week. He now says 311 more will be out of work by next Wednesday unless the strike ends. The walkout also is costing the railroad money.
Are lost coal revenues
at this point are in excess of $10 million. And the figure is running right now at something in excess of $1 million a day in lost coal revenues.
Phelps says the Norfolk and Western serves 218 mines. On Wednesday, only a third of them were in operation. All West Virginia N&W mines remained closed. The N&W sees little chance for improvement this week. It hopes the strike will lose steam. John Kessling for CBS News, Roanoke, Virginia.
A juvenile court judge in Pensacola, Florida, Wednesday night gave doctors legal authority to give blood transfusions to twin girls born 3 months prematurely. Earlier, the parents threatened to sue doctors if they went ahead with the transfusions, which may help the infants' chances of survival. The parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, a faith which does not permit blood transfusions. A standoff continues at this hour in Albany, New York. Heavily armed police and FBI agents are watching a sandwich shop where a gunman is holed up inside with about 10 hostages, including several children. So far, the man has refused to communicate with authorities. About 9 hours ago, the man robbed a bank, shot and wounded a policeman, and ran into the nearby coffee shop where the people inside became his hostages. Now this.
Hi there, this is Mike Roy of the Cooking Thing, and I'm about to ask my pal Dennis Bracken to invite a banana to breakfast.
Well, nothing special about that. I often slice bananas on my cereal there, Michael.
Oh, I'll bet you never made banana pancakes or served with bacon and eggs.
No, I can't say that I have. It doesn't even sound very appetizing. You better elaborate.
Well, tomorrow I'll do the elaboration. I got about 7 suggestions, including banana cinnamon toast.
You're going to bring 7 bananas to breakfast,
That's
huh?
right.
Tune in tomorrow, friend, for Mike Roy's Banana Thing. You'll hear it right here on CBS.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. In the words of Thomas Jefferson, I must believe that religion substantially good, which produces an honest life, and we've been authorized by one whom you and I equally respect to judge of the tree by its fruit.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
The White House is not commenting on a report that Thomas Kleppe, the head of the Small Business Administration, has been nominated to become Secretary of the Interior. That report came from Senator Milton Young of North Dakota. The First National City Bank of New York is revising its earlier forecasts about the economy. Citibank now saying it expects a slowdown of real growth in coming months because of inflationary pressure. Doug Poling, CBS News.